Papaw back there. Good to have them. Hope you'll pray for me tonight. I'm nervous. I told some of them earlier, I don't seem like I ever can get over being nervous. I'm a nervous wreck. So if you'll help me, the Lord will stand by me. If you want to stand for reading of the Word, we'll start Psalms 102. Psalms 102. We'll begin at verse number 4. It says, "My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forgot to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon a housetop." If the Lord will stand by me for just a few minutes, I want to preach to you on weary, worn, but watching. Would you pray for me? Thank you for standing. Weary, worn, but watching. This 102nd Psalm is it's not titled like a lot of the Psalms. A lot of the Psalms, it'll tell you this is a Psalm of David, or this is a Psalm of the chief musician, or so on and so forth. And it'll tell you kind of where it comes from. But most of your study Bibles, I've got several study Bibles, and all that I looked this up in, most of them, they say this is simply the Psalm of the Afflicted. The Psalm of the Afflicted. It don't have nobody kind of gives it a signature, so to speak. It don't tell who the author of it was. But you get down here to this fourth verse, and all through this first part of this psalm, he is pouring out his heart. He's pouring out his heart. And he gets down here and he says, "I am a pelican of the wilderness." And when I read that, it seems like I puzzled about that. I thought, that don't make any sense at all. A pelican, I went to Google, and I looked it up, and I thought, now, am I crazy? That's the bird with the big beak, you know, that fishes in the sea. What in the world is it doing in the wilderness? And I begin to look it up, and it is. It's a bird of the sea. It's a fisher bird. A lot of people refer to it as the fisher bird. If they fish in flocks, they migrate in flocks. They, you know, it lives in the sea. It migrates to the tropical islands. And so here you find this bird that is used to a watery, fishy atmosphere, and you find it in the exact opposite of what it's comfortable with. You find it in a wilderness, away from water, away from fish, away from the flock, away from everything that it had become comfortable with and everything that it had become familiar with. And so here you find this psalmist, he's saying, "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I feel like I'm totally removed from everything that I've gotten familiar with. And I feel like I'm totally removed from everything that I'd got settled with. And I feel like I've been removed from everything that I'd been comfortable with." And here he is, and he begins to pour out his heart. He says, "I'm a pelican of the wilderness." Then he drops on down and he says, "I'm an owl of the desert." Now, there is a few species of owls that do live in the desert, but by and large, most owls are of the woods or of the fields. They live on small game. They live on rabbits and mice and so on and so forth. But here you find an owl of the desert. There's no mice scurrying through the fields there. There's no rabbit to catch. There's no quail or small game for it to go after. And here he is again. He says, "I'm removed from that I'm comfortable with. I'm removed from that I've gone accustomed to. I'm removed. I feel out of pocket and I feel out of place." And then he drops down to verse number 7, and he talks about a sparrow. Now, I don't know why he keeps using birds as an illustration. I guess he's saying being uncomfortable is for the birds. I don't know why he kept using all these different kinds of birds as an illustration. But he drops down to verse number 7, and he says, "I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon a housetop. Again, you find a bird that is of a flock. They stay together all the time. They keep together for warmth. They keep together for protection. They, has anybody ever seen a sparrow, a group of sparrows chase off a big old crow? A crow four or five times its size, but there'll be so many of them sparrows that it has to run away because they stay together for protection. And here this psalmist is, he's saying, a lot of times in the Bible when it refers to watching or a watch, it's talking about in the nighttime. It's talking about a night watcher, a night watchman. And even in a casual way, a lot of times it's referring back to the night when it's talking about a watch. And so I can't help but feel like when he was talking about here, this bird is a bird of the day. This bird is a bird of the morning. It's not a bird of the night. It's a bird of the flock. It's not a bird to be alone. It's unprotected alone. It's cold alone. And here he says, I'm watching like a sparrow alone on a housetop. And I kept, you know, and again, he's totally removed from everything he's used to. He's alone. He's away from the flock. It's at nighttime. It's not when he's normally out and about. And he feels uncomfortable and cold and unprotected. But I want you to notice, he at the very first, he says, I watch. He's still watching. Even though things may not be as comfortable as he was used to, even though things aren't as familiar as he would like them to be, he's still watching. And I'm sure if this little sparrow is anything like us, when we begin to get uncomfortable and when things around us begin to get unfamiliar, I'm sure he probably looked at all the situation and he said, well, if I can pull this in here and if this will fall into place and I can talk to this and work this out, and he plays out the scenarios and the situations in his mind, and he said, maybe I can get this situation back to where it was when I was familiar with it. Maybe I can work it around to get it back to where it was, where I was comfortable with it. Maybe I can do this and this and this. And he finds out you can't. Sometimes there's places in life you can't get it back to like it was. There's some things you're not going to put all the things back together that sometimes life tears apart. And I can imagine this little sparrow as he's sitting on this housetop, weary, worn out from running around trying to put it all back together. And he's sitting up there, uncomfortable, cold, unfamiliar with his surroundings, but he's still watching. He's still watching. I want to ask, what are you watching for, little sparrow? What are you watching for? And I can, in my imagination, I can hear him say, I am a bird of the day. I am not a bird of the night, and I am watching for the morning. And even though, and I want to say, don't you understand everything around you is not what you're used to? Don't you understand this is totally abnormal for you? Don't you understand this is not what you're comfortable with? Don't you understand you're out of place here? Don't you, what are you doing here? Hey, come on here. Have you ever been there when the devil's telling you that? What are you doing here? What's the matter with you? Why are you so shattered? Why are you so frustrated? Why do you feel so uncomfortable? Why do you feel so unfamiliar? What are you doing here? I can almost hear that little sparrow say, hey, I'm not, just because the night's got long, I'm not staying here. I'm still watching for the morning. I don't understand what's around me. There's some things I've worn myself out trying to hold together, and I've worn myself out trying to piece it back to the way it was when I was familiar with it and the way it was when I was comfortable with it. But I can't do, I figured out that I'll wear myself out and I'll destroy myself and I'll drive myself crazy trying to hold it all together by myself. But I know one thing, and that's I'm going to watch until the sun comes up again, because I am not a bird of the night. I am a bird of the morning, and I will wait until I see the sun come up over the horizon and shine a whole new light on the situation that I have become unfamiliar with. Woo! Oh, help me. I was working at Law Grocery. I've told this here a couple times, I think, a long time ago when I first got married. I was working at Law Grocery, and I was working late up. I was working a lot of overtime. I was working late up in the night one night, order filling down through there. And I was going down through there, and I kept hearing something way back in one of them back aisles. I thought, what in the world is that? You know how it is. It's noise. It's clanging and beating and banging and forklifts and machinery and hum and noise and people. Kept hearing something back on that back aisle. I rode my little lift there, down through there. I was listening for it. I rounded one of those aisles back there. I could hear it. I looked way up in the top of them racks. I don't know how tall they are. Two or three stories tall, them racks are. Way up in the top of one of them racks, there's a little songbird. He was singing to beat the band. I remember thinking to myself, what in the world are you doing? It's in the middle of the night, and you're in a big old noisy warehouse. What in the world are you doing singing right now? I don't know how he got there. I'm assuming he probably flew in a dock door when a truck was out from it or something. I don't know exactly how he got there, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? I'm sure he wasn't a bit familiar with what was around him. I'm sure that all that noise and commotion probably scared him to death. There ain't nothing about that rack that looked like the woods. There ain't nothing about that ceiling that reminded him of the open sky. There ain't nothing about that concrete reminded him of the warm ground where he found worms to get by on. That's right. And I remember thinking, oh, you may not know what's around you. I don't know. I was just picturing in my mind. Maybe I'm crazy. I imagine what things think. Imagine what things are thinking. I was just sitting there thinking, boy, I bet he feels so out of pocket. I bet he feels so out of place. But you know what? He wasn't under a pallet somewhere crying or going on. He done the only thing he knew to do. And he flew just as high as he could get. He couldn't get to the open skies he was used to. He couldn't get back to what he was familiar with. But he said, I can do one thing. And I'm going to fly just as high as I can get. And I'm going to sing until I see daylight come through one of those doors again. And daylight will lead me back out to what I'm familiar with. And daylight, in the morning, I can see what I'm doing. In the morning, I'll know where to go. In the morning, I'll know what my next step ought to be. In the morning, I can see my way clear. But until the morning gets here, I'm going to fly just as high as I can. And I'm going to sing, because that's the only thing I know sometimes. Because that's the only thing I have to hold to sometimes. Because when life puts you in situations that you're not comfortable with and you're not familiar with and you're not used to, sometimes you gotta hold on. Who was it the other night said, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do? Hey, some things when you don't know what to do, you just simply do what you know to do, and you don't quit watching and waiting for the morning. Hey, there's situations around. Hey.
Help me here.
Don't give up watching for the morning. Don't quit waiting for the morning. Don't quit waiting. It's okay to get weary. Yeah, that's natural. It's okay to feel wore out. That's human. But don't quit watching. Whatever you do, don't quit watching. I read a story of a painting. This man painted this painting, and it was of a horrible storm. The painting was just a black, real dark picture. And in the storm, in the middle of all these waves, you could see a little bitty rowboat out in the middle of all these waves. And the guy in the rowboat was looking straight up. And in the sky, it was all dark and cloudy. There was one little star shining through those clouds. And the caption at the bottom of that painting says, "If I lose this, I'm lost." I want to tell you tonight, don't quit watching. Don't quit watching. The waves may seem rough. The things around you may have you uncomfortable. It may be unfamiliar. It may be not what you're used to. But don't lose sight of the only thing that's going to pull you through until the morning. That's what he was saying. If I lose sight of the only thing that matters, I'm lost and I'm done. Hey, but I've got to fix my eyes. I'm going to keep on watching until I see the morning. I'm going to keep on watching until I see more clearly than I do now. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He was telling me, a guy that was talking to him, he was talking to a backslider, trying to witness to him a little bit. And that backslider told him, he said, you know, he said, I just quit, give up too quick. I just give up too quick. He said, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed about some situations. And he said, and I thought God wasn't ever going to move. And he said, so I got frustrated and I quit. And he said, right after I give up, everything I've been praying for fell into place. And he said, but now here I am. Now he don't know. He don't know what to feel or how to get back, or there he is. Now he feels out of pocket and washed out. Don't quit. That's what my burden is. I wish I feel like I'm having a hard time getting it out to you, but I wish I could tell you, don't quit watching. Don't quit watching. Don't let your surroundings pull your eyes off from the only thing that's going to ride you through. Don't let what's around you distract you. That's what happened to Peter. He let what was around him pull his eyes off the only thing that was keeping him afloat. And so many times we'll do that. We'll let everything around us attract our attention, and it'll be the very thing that drags us down. If you keep your eyes on the only thing that'll keep you afloat. You get down after verse number 7, it goes through a few more things. Then in verse 12 through verse 17, he's talking about how the Lord does move in the situation and what the Lord does in that situation. And he gets down to verse number 18, and he says, this shall be written for the generations to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the heights of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that were appointed to death. What he's saying is, he just gets done telling us about all these things, that all this, how he felt, and all this. And then he said, the Lord moved. And then he said, this is going to be written down for those generations to come. That way, in today's language, we'd say that way you'll know you're not watching in vain. You're not hoping in vain. Right. Don't give up. You're going to praise the Lord at the end of the night, and when the morning comes, you will praise Him. And you'll see clearly in the morning. You may not see exactly now. It may be uncomfortable now. You may feel unfamiliar with your surroundings now. But don't lose sight and don't lose hope. The psalmist says, you're not watching in vain, but in the morning you'll rejoice when you see it clear. When you see it clear. Oh, my. Oh, my. I wish I could. I felt kind of like I heard a story one time. I don't remember if I read it. It was an illustration. I don't remember if I read it or heard it. I love illustrations. I read so many of them. I don't remember where I get half of them. It was a story about these traveling bands in the desert. And when they run out of water and when they're desperate for water, looking for water, they said they'll send out a group of riders and said they'll go to just the horizon where they can just barely see, and they'll stop. One will stand there to where he can just barely see the camp. Then the rest of them will go on. And when they get to where they can barely see that rider they left, they'll drop another one. And another one, and another one, until they make a train all the way, and then they'll head across the desert that way looking for water. And as soon as that first guy sees water, he'll turn around and he'll begin to signal that next guy, and that guy will signal the next guy, and the next, and so on, and so on, and so forth, until they tell the caravan, don't give up. Our outriders have seen the water. Let's keep going, keep carrying on, keep going. And I thought to myself, wonder what one of those messengers in the middle probably feels like. He's probably just as dry and just as thirsty as everybody else there. And he's not seen the water for himself. He's still just as dry as he ever was. But he turns around and he begins to tell him, don't quit. Come on. Come on. Don't quit. Water's just ahead. Water's just ahead. I kind of felt that way when I was preparing for this message. I thought, Lord, I knew the Lord gave me this message, and I thought, Lord, I'll be honest with you. I'm preaching to these people to keep on watching and not give up watching. And there's some things that I'm dealing with. It's still nighttime. It's still dark. But I can tell you, as sure as I'm standing here on Sunday morning, it was right not long after daybreak, I was sitting at the kitchen table writing this down. I didn't know I was going to be preaching tonight. I was writing this down on Sunday morning. I felt the Holy Ghost come in that little kitchen. And he began to flood my soul. I don't know, maybe this is more for me than it is for you, but I felt like telling somebody, hey, I ain't seen the morning just yet for myself. There's a few things I'm facing that it's still dark in, but I heard it from farther on. I heard it from somewhere else. I got a message from on high, and the Holy Ghost touched my heart on Sunday morning, and he let me know, don't give up just yet. Just keep watching for the morning. Don't give up just yet. Don't let everything around you distract you from the main goal. Don't give up just yet. So I came running back just like one of those desert riders just to tell you, hey, I heard it from farther on down the line. I heard it from farther on up the line. Don't live up just yet, and don't lose heart just yet, and don't throw in the towel just yet. If we quit watching, we'll be lost. If we give up hope, we'll be lost. If we surrender to all the distractions around us, we'll be lost. But I'm here to tell you, don't lose sight and don't lose hope, because morning's coming. You can be weary. Yes, you're weary, and yes, you're worn, but don't quit watching. Whatever it takes, don't quit watching. Don't quit watching. I've preached to you my heart. I hope it helped you. I hope it encouraged you to stay with it, to keep on struggling on. Morning's coming. Morning's coming. And in the morning, you'll see your way a little more clear. In the morning, you'll see where to go. Thank you for your time and attention. These altars are open.